I don't know how I could top that. I think I should just let him continue, right? That's why I call him Dr. Sam. Call him Dr. Sam. You know, it's nice to praise them and lift them up and present them high. And while we're doing that, always stay on our knees. Because those are the individuals the devil's going to target the most. They're going to target the most. They're going to reach out to them because they have influence. They command influence and they command leadership. And that's what he wants. So let us continue to keep them in prayer, that the holy angels will form a hedge around them and protect them, and that they will use their good for the glorification of God. And this morning, my heart is kind of heavy. I don't know why I did this morning, but whenever it's Pathfinder Day or something to do with Pathfinders, my mind always go back on my father. You know, he's the reason why I'm here. I'm in this thing. And this morning I decided to put on part of his uniform. It's all right. I had to put on his uniform. But walking those shoes, oh boy, those are some big shoes. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Now, this morning I have the challenge to keep the attention of 5, 4, 3-year-olds. You hear the amen? It's a powerful and adventurous day. And to keep their attention, I may as well be short and sweet. Now I hear a bigger amen. It seems like everybody wants short and sweet. But the point is that, and bring it down to the level of the children, and I know all of us will be blessed. Let us pray. Father, into the hands we commit ourselves. Take us, use us, mold us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, our Redeemer. Amen. The year was 1815. Way before all of us were ever born. The battle was called the Battle of Waterloo. For those who are historians, you begin to understand, you will recall this battle. The battle was between England and France. The Battle of Waterloo was between England and France, and England was across over on the French side fighting. The English army was led by Wellington, and the French army was led by Napoleon. And they were fighting this war, this Waterloo War, where these two countries were now at war, fighting. For days, the fight was going on, intense, and they knew people were dying. England was waiting for a word or news from the war as to what was happening. Who was winning? Who was losing? What is happening to their men, to her men? And after 3 days, one of the ships from England was able to send back a message to England. And the message was sent via Morse code. Now, back in those days, they would use a light, you know, to send the Morse code. And these guys knew that England was, at a certain time, the fog will come down in England. So they tried to send the message before the fog came down. And so they send the message, and the people in England got their pen and paper, and they start to write. And they read the message, W. E, L, L, I, N, G-T-O-N space D E F A F E A T E D. Then the fog came down. That's all the message they got. England went into a state of mourn. To the message received, Wellington defeated. England for that night was in a state of mourn, mourning the loss of the great commander Wellington. All the men, they felt were lost, died. For the whole night, England was crying, wailing, because they lost, they thought they lost the war. The next morning, when the fog lifted, the message was still coming, and they began to grab their pen and they wrote down, Wellington defeated Napoleon. Wellington defeated Napoleon. Can you imagine the excitement that ran out through the streets of England? Switching from a moment of defeat to a moment of rejoicing because the message that they received now was clear and uninterrupted, and it stated that they won the war. Wellington defeated Napoleon. I don't know if you understand or you really get what I'm going at. What I'm getting at. The first message was interrupted by fog. And the message was incomplete. The fog caused England to think that they had lost the war. Think about it. And if you know me well, I take stories and bring it to personal application. The question is our message clear or interrupted? Today we have a message. We have a message to give to the world, a message to send to the world. A message of hope, a message of life, a message of salvation, a message telling the world that Jesus, King of Kings, is coming again. A message to tell the world that our commander has won the war. But like those on the ship, flashing the message back to England, not realizing that the fog had blocked their message, is our message to the world today being blocked? Is our message blocked? Is our message hampered? Is our message interrupted? Are there obstacles in our way where our message cannot be reached clearly as it's supposed to be? The fog blocking the message to England, causing them to receive the wrong message. The question is, are we doing the same today? Are we doing the same today? Are we sending a message uninterrupted? Is our lifestyle blocking our message? There are people in the world today who are dying and need to hear the good news of God's saving grace. But in order for them to hear it, in order for them to receive the message, in order for them to receive the right, complete message, we have to send it unobscured. Nothing must block the message. Our lifestyle must be clear so that they can see Jesus in us. The Bible tells us if we lift him up high that the world may see. A light is no use to anyone in a bushel. Can you imagine going when power out, trying to light your light and then cover it up and expect to find your way? We have to break the bushel. We have to let our light shine before men that they may see God and glorify him. There are many in the world who need our message. Many are asking, what is the message? Young people, let me tell you this morning, and adventurers, they are looking at you also. You are not too young to not spread the message. You may say, oh, I can't get up and preach. I am nervous. Yes, that may be the point, but they can see it, the message in your way you live. The way you interact. And I'm sure adventurers and pathfinders, adventurers, when you were going through your classes, they taught you various Bible stories of individuals who let their light shine. And I can think about men like Daniel. You know the story of Daniel. Daniel, when he was taken into captivity and spent his life there, Daniel refused to let his light be covered up. Even though they told Daniel, you can't pray, Daniel still prayed. And instead of hiding behind, he opened the windows wide and prayed to his God. And at the end of that, because of his obedience to God, they threw him into the lion's den. And you see, my friends, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, who was down there before him? God was down, and the Bible says he shut the lion's mouth. Daniel's life, when the king couldn't sleep and went to that morning and asked him, Daniel, are you still there? He said, my God has saved me. Daniel. Then we look at these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, about your age. Grew up at home, was trained, went to, well, if there were pathfinders back then, their parents would have sent them to pathfinders. They sent them to Sabbath school, but their parents taught them the Bible. Taught them to trust in God. Taught them to obey. And those boys, when they were taken from their homes into captivity, that teaching went with them. You know, Ellen White says he must do a train up in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. I never understood that. Up to today, I still have a hard time understanding until I realize you teach them. They leave, but they leave with the message. And when they can't take it no more, the message brings them back. It is our responsible parents to teach them now. That's why we send them to adventurers. That's why we send them to Sabbath school. That's why we send them to pathfinders, to teach them so that the teaching will always be with them. Those three young men was taken out from their home, taken into captivity, and they were tossed up and down, and they were forced to worship this great image that the king had set up. And these young men were not afraid to tell that powerful king, we will not serve your God. Like some preachers say, they need a bend and a bow. You know, nowadays they have so many tricks. I'm not bowing. Tying your two strings, right? Oh, look at us, we're fine. These guys didn't bend nor bow. And even though they saw the fiery furnace, for some reason, when they saw the fire, they straightened up more. They straightened up more. And they said, we're not afraid of the fire because we know in whom we serve. And even though as a young, tender age, these guys stood up for God. And when they were bound and thrown into the fire, God was with them in the fire. That tells us, young people, whether you go through the fire, through the storms, whatever problems, whatever bullying, whatever it, name it, God is with you. Never turn your backs on him because he will never turn his back on you. You know, we always pick characters in the Bible and they'll always be male. And the female will say, but what about us? And there is Esther. Queen Esther, you know, very beautiful and was chosen as queen, placed in a palace. But Esther never forgot where she came from, God's people. And when the plot came and she heard of the plot of, from Haman to destroy the Jews, and her cousin came and told her, you need to go to the king and plead for your people. Esther knew that if she goes before the king uninvited, she will be put to death. But Esther trusted in God. She knew in whom she believed. And her words were, if I perish, I perish. But she's going to go and plead the case to save God's people. And the Bible story tells us that she went before the king, the lives of her people were spared. And then we find another woman who Jesus met by the well. And Jesus began to tell her all about herself and stuff, and she realized that this man is not any ordinary man. This is an extraordinary man. This is somebody everybody has to hear. You see, my friends, when you get the good news of Jesus, you can't keep it to yourself. This woman, when she heard about Jesus, what Jesus did for her, she ran into the town and said, hey, come and see. And she told all the friends, to all the community, come and hear this man. And you see, when Jesus touches our hearts, touches our lives, all we can do is tell about it. Tell about it. And then we have the story of the leopards. When they were healed, one of them came back and thanked God, and he left leaping, jumping, and praising God. And there are so many characters in the Bible of lives that testify of God. And today, beloved, our commission is in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go. Go ye therefore into all the world and do what? Teach, preach, tell the world of Jesus Christ, baptize them and let them know that Jesus is coming. That's our responsibility. That's our commander. Our command, that's what we need to do. Go and tell. Go and tell what God has done for you. Go and tell what God is doing for you. And the easiest way, young people, to do it is the way, by the way we live. By the way we live. You know, it's a good thing that I've experienced some experiences and often ask myself, where did they see that? You know, have you ever experienced somebody, stranger, walk up to you and look at you straight in the face out of the blue and ask a question, are you a Christian? Why? You don't know them, you have never spoken to them, never seen them, but they walk up to you and ask you, are you a Christian? Why? The way you look, the way you carry yourself, the way you speak, everything about you, speak of God. That is all we have to do. We have to pitch a tent or preach and stuff. All we have to do, all what the Bible or Jesus asks us to do, is to live the life. It's time, beloved, for us to climb up out of the valleys and up to the mountaintop and shout with the top of a voice the message of God, the hope, the message of hope, the message of grace, the message of salvation. Shout to the world that Jesus, the King of Kings, is coming soon. This we can all do. This we can all do by living for God every day. Now the adventurers, you have a simple thing that you have learned from the time you have entered. When I was an adventurers, it went this way. For Jesus' sake, I will always do my best. Today, the adventurers, what do you say? Because Jesus. Because Jesus loves me, I will what? Always do my best. And how can you do your best, adventurers? By being obedient. By being true. Come on, you know your law. But be true, be kind, be respectful, be attentive, be helpful, be cheerful, be thoughtful, be reverent. This is what we are teaching them. This is what we're teaching them. Because Jesus loves me. Not because I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. I will do my best. I will be obedient. I'll be true. I'll be respectful. I'll be helpful, attentive, cheerful, thoughtful, reverent. And when they begin to understand this and begin to act it out, what do we see? God's people. And then when we come over to the pathfinders, it's about the same. But now they change it a bit for the pathfinders and go a little further and tell them, By the grace of God, you know, by the empowerment of God, by God helping me, by God empowering me, by God in me, I will what? By the grace of God, I will be pure. By the grace of God, I will be kind. By God's grace, I will be true. By God's grace, I will keep the path of the law. By his grace, I'll be a servant of God and a friend to man. I don't know if you understand it, beloved, but when you get a little older, you get more challenges. You get more obstacles. You get more things pulling at you. And you let them know that is not by your strength. Not by your power, but by the power of Jesus Christ will you be victorious. By God's grace means, beloved, only as we rely on God to help us can we do his will. I will fill my mind with everything that is right and true. That is to be pure. To be kind, I will be considerate and kind, not only to my fellow men, but to all of God's creation. I'll be true. I'll be honest, upright, work and play, and can always be counted upon to do my very best. I'll keep the path and the law. I'll be a servant of God, which means I will pledge myself to serve God first. Pledge to serve God last. And pledge to serve God the best I can ever do. A servant of God and a friend to man, to live, to bless others, and to do unto them as I would have them do unto me. This is what we're teaching them. This is what we want to instill in them. And when they act it out and carry it out, people see Christ in them. And we as adults and we as parents and we as relatives and loved ones, we can learn from this. And when we do that, what they are doing, and when we see them doing it, and they see that, they see Christ in us. This is what we are called to do, beloved. To let the world know that God is alive. This is what we are called to do. To let the world know that he lives and he lives in us. We have a message to tell to the world. And nothing, beloved, nothing should interrupt that message. Nothing should block that message from going out to the world. A message of hope. A message of grace. A message of salvation. A message of the soon coming King. We have this hope. We have this hope. We have this hope that burns in our heart. The hope of our coming Lord. May God continue to bless us as we look forward to that day when he shall burst the clouds of heaven, come down to this earth to take all of us and his loved ones home. May we continue to give the message loud and clear wherever we go. We have this hope.
Please stand and join us in singing our closing song.
Love for the way.
Father in heaven, grant us your power, your grace, so that our message to the world will be uninterrupted, clear as crystal. Give us the strength, give us the power, so that as we proclaim your words in life, in deed, in action, that they'll be drawn to you and will be saved when you come. Dismiss us with your blessings, and may your presence always be with us, now and forevermore. Amen.
Lakeview Pathfinders, congratulations on your special day.
Hi, happy Sabbath.
Miss you.
I think you got that voice. That is from the Campos family. All right, so we're going to...